Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. NBA action right now is fantastic. I got to tell you, I enjoyed so thoroughly what we saw last night. Playing games. Start to finish, I watched Miami in Charlotte. I watched Bam Adebayo go down in the second quarter, courtesy of LaMelo Ball, yanking or pulling at his left leg, forcing him to fall a bit harder than he had intended to. As a result, knocking him out of the game for the rest of the game. I saw a game go into overtime because of efforts by Kobe White, because of efforts by Miles Bridges, because of the heroics of the Tyler Heroes of the world, the Davion Mitchells of the world. The list goes on and on. It was a hell of a game. And, of course, LaMelo Ball closed the deal with 4.7 seconds left in overtime to ultimately seal the deal and propel the Charlotte Hornets to their first playoff series in about a decade, courtesy of a 127-126 overtime victory over the Miami Heat, sending them home. LaMelo Ball didn't have a great shooting night, but still finished with 30 and 10. Miles Bridges was absolutely sensational. He finished with 28, played a big-time game, hit about 5 3-pointers. Con Knipple, albeit maybe not fair, because the Rookie of the Year vote is supposed to be a regular season vote. There was a play-in game, but considering his future performance, 2 of 12, 0 for 6 from three-point range, just 6 points, getting benched at some at significant junctures of the fourth quarter and the entire overtime, that's the kind of stuff that's going to help Cooper Flagg now. It's going to help Cooper Flagg, but we can get into all of that a little bit later. In the end, it was a big-time matchup. Make no mistake about it. I loved every moment of it. We saw what happened. And, of course, we got to pay homage, you know, props and give props where props is due, because it was a hell of a game, no doubt about it. But the Charlotte Hornets have won. They've secured the 7th seed in the Eastern Conference. They will be going up against the Boston Celtics in the first round of these playoffs. They won't win that series. They shouldn't win that series, but it'll still be very, very interesting. That's number one. The Portland Trailblazers is another story. Not that big of a deal, but, you know, obviously, this brother dropped 41 points, 12 assists. I mean, he can play. And all I got to say about the Portland Trailblazers, who secured the 7th seed in the Western Conference and are scheduled to go up against the San Antonio Spurs, is this. Portland likes physicality. They've got size. They're a good rebounding team. They go after you. They're in attack mode. Damian Lillard can't play this year. We know that he's out this year with the recovering from the torn Achilles tear he suffered last year in the playoffs. But the bottom line is, you look at these young thoroughbreds on Portland. They've got size. They've got fervor. They've got, I mean, I like them. I don't see them beat San Antonio. I think they're running into a juggernaut there. But I like what I see. So just seeing that right then, and then knowing a team like the Miami goes home, okay, and you're in a situation right now. I'm sorry. It looks like Charlotte's going to go against Boston, but we'll see. First, we got to see what Philly and Orlando does. And the winner of that game actually goes up against Boston. They'll play the Hornets. The Hornets will play the loser of that game for the 8th seed, which means they'll probably go up against Detroit in the first round, assuming they win. So I misspoke there, but the bottom line is this. It's all interesting. It's all compelling. There's a lot of NBA stuff to get into, no doubt about it. The first order of business to get into was the play that LaMelo Ball performed against Bam Adebayo. If you're the Miami Heat, you're pretty pissed off. You don't want to hear any excuse. You don't want to hear anything. Like, if Bam Adebayo had played, there's no reason to believe that the Hornets would have won this particular game. There's no reason to believe that. So we got to get that out of the way first. If you look at the play, LaMelo Ball is driving into the lane from the left side. The shot is contested by one defender and Bam Adebayo. Bam Adebayo gets possession. He's falling back, and he tosses the ball to one of his teammates. But Melo Ball, after getting hit upside the head, grabbed at the left ankle of Bam Adebayo, which made him fall a bit harder than he expected to. He obviously was very, very hurt. Had to be helped up. Walked off the court on his own recognizance, but the bottom line was he wasn't the same. And he was never able to come back into the game. He wasn't able to play. After the game, Eric Spoelstra, being the class act that he is, but being an honest, candid individual who's a basketball aficionado, he spoke very eloquently about the whole LaMelo Ball play while making sure not to take any credit away from the Charlotte Hornets. Listen to Coach Eric Spoelstra and what he had to say.
I didn't see it, but that I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's funny. I think it's a stupid play. It's a dangerous play. Obviously, our best player is out. I'm not making an excuse. The Hornets played great, you know, and they made those plays down the stretch. We had our opportunities to win. I just that's a shame. You know, you should be penalized for that. I don't think that belongs in the game. You know, tripping guys, shenanigans. And, you know, Curtis was there. It's his responsibility to see that. And if it's not his responsibility, then Zach's got to see it. If, you know, somebody has got to see that, and that, you know, he should have been thrown out of the game, you know, for that. I don't know him from, you know, anyone. There's no place in the game for that. Obviously, you know, it took Bam out of the game.
Now, needless to say, Eric Spoelstra had every right to be ticked off. I think ejecting LaMelo Ball from the game would have been going a bit too far, which I'll explain in just a second. But I want to reemphasize that Eric Spoelstra was not trying to take any credit away from the Charlotte Hornets and how they played last night. So listen to Coach Spoelstra follow up with what with the credit that he wanted to give the Charlotte Hornets. Listen to this.
That did not deter us. You know, if there's anything about our locker room, we just, you know, the guys just got into the competition. And like I said, we had our opportunities to win this game. What you want is you want to feel like you're worthy to win. And I think our guys felt like they're worthy to win tonight. We just didn't win the game. And that can happen as well. That's what we'll have to live with, you know, in the offseason.
LaMelo Ball obviously has a right to say what he has to say since he was directly involved with it. One would say he instigated, obviously, the actions because he's the one that pulled at the ankle of Bam Adebayo. Listen to what LaMelo Ball had to say afterward.
Oh, yeah, I apologize on that one. I mean, I got hit in the head, didn't really know where I was, but I'm going to check on him and see if he's okay and everything.
LaMelo, it kind of looked like on film that you might have grabbed his leg. I mean, did you intentionally grab his leg?
I haven't even seen. Like I said, I got hit in the head, didn't even know where I was. But, yeah, just playing basketball. But like I said, sorry, and I'm going to check on him.
Appreciate the apology. Wait for him to acknowledge that. But you know what? Check up on him. Nobody gives a damn about that. You know, Miami Heat, the last person you want checking up on Bam Adebayo is LaMelo Ball. Okay, now let's be very, very clear. It was an illegal play. He damn sure should have received a flagrant for it, no doubt about it. But when you talk about referees Curtis Blair and Zach Zarber, both of whom Coach Eric Spoelstra alluded to, one of them should have made the call or not, I think ejecting LaMelo Ball is going a bit too far. That's when the referees, the officiating, gets in the way because you're dictating the outcome. If LaMelo Ball had got, just as I imagine for a second, let's say, for example, and the play wasn't reviewable because the ensuing play took place, and it wasn't reviewable because of that reality. They had moved on to the next play according to the rules. But let's say for the sake of argument that LaMelo Ball had gotten ejected in that moment. Bam Adebayo walks to the locker room. It's entirely plausible that Bam Adebayo would have came out of the locker room. Nobody knew he was going to be out for the remainder of the game. We didn't see that coming. And this is a playoff atmosphere. This is for the right to enter the playoffs. You did not want to find yourself in a situation where you're benching or you're ejecting LaMelo Ball in the second quarter of a game, and then Charlotte turns around and loses the game. And you have an entire offseason to think about because the star point guard for your squad was ejected from the game. That's the officiating determining the outcome, not the players. So for me, I'm totally, totally against that in this particular situation. I do not believe that LaMelo Ball should have been ejected. I disagree with Spoelstra there. Give him a flagrant one, no doubt. But I don't think he should have been ejected from the game. I think that would have been going too far, and I think that would have been disastrous for the league. I still haven't gotten over what the league, what the official did, official meta, did weeks ago when Jaylen Brown strolled into San Antonio as a top two leading candidate for league MVP honors, going up against Victor Wembanyama, and gets ejected in the second quarter for arguing a call with the referee while walking away from the referee, and the referee he was arguing with wasn't even the one who ejected him. I think that hurt Jaylen Brown's chances significantly. I'm still pissed off about that. So I don't want to see officials getting in the way and doing something that significant to deter or to dictate the outcome. We don't need that problem. So those out there who are encouraging that, stop it. We don't need it. We don't need it. But if you LaMelo Ball, yo, man, stop grabbing at people's ankles. Stop tripping them up. Fairness to LaMelo Ball, he didn't do what Joel Embiid did to Mitchell Robinson a couple of years ago in the playoffs when he violently yanked away at his left leg when he was on the floor and Mitchell Robinson was going up for a rebound. And then he comes down and he was never the same for the damn series because Joel Embiid almost ripped his leg apart. Now, that was very flagrant. That was very flagrant. Last night, not so much. So we just got to keep it a buck and be honest about that and recognize the fact that, hey, that's not a play that should happen. Eric Spoelstra's right to be upset. It's very unfortunate. But an ejection, no, that's going a bit too far. That's what I think. What do you think? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Charlotte. And I got to say this to y'all. This Eastern Conference playoff scene is becoming very, very interesting. You got Charlotte. Miles Bridges balling last night, hitting about five threes. You know, he's not that tall, but he's a wide body, and he can play. And so to see him do what he did last night, that was good to see. LaMelo Ball doing what he did, that was good to see. But LaMelo Ball almost lost the game for them by fouling Tyler Hero in the left corner. You know, Brandon Miller made a couple of stupid fouls that he picked up. They're young, and they got to be better than that. They got to make better decisions than that. You had about six different players that scored in double figures. I love this kind of stuff. And I'm looking at it right now between the Atlanta Hawks going up against the New York Knicks. Between that and Charlotte potentially going up against Detroit. We'll see what the winner of Philly Orlando does in getting set to go up against Boston. I mean, it can get very interesting. Charlotte could score on anybody, y'all. Charlotte could score on anybody. And even though they'll make their mistakes and they'll tend to beat themselves from time to time, they can score on anybody. And if they can score on anybody and they can make that kind of noise, they can make the Eastern Conference playoff picture very, very interesting. So I think it's important for us to point that out. The other side to all of that is what's going on out west. Because when I saw the Portland Trail Blazers play last night and beat the Phoenix Suns, I just said, wait a minute, these brothers got some size. They got some athleticism. They really, really go after it. I think going up against the San Antonio Spurs is a daunting task for them for a couple of reasons. Number one, you lost two of the three meetings against them this year that you've had. Number two, none of those games included Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama didn't play a game against the Portland Trail Blazers this year. Now you set to go up against him. Good luck with that. Because Portland will attack the basket with fervor. Well, what you going to do when that 7'5" dude is waiting at the rim? He don't even have to jump to dunk. What you going to do then? Because it's not looking very, very good right now. If you are the Portland Trailblazers. But in the same breath, it's like, wait a minute now. This young talent that these cats have, it can end up doing something for them. It's a special thing to see. And I'm of the mindset that I just can't wait to see it. I'm interested in a few series. I'm interested in Denver going up against Minnesota. And we're going to have Coach Chris Finch of the Minnesota Timberwolves on in the show today. Looking forward to talking to him about that. I think that series could go seven games. San Antonio, Portland, what if that goes six or seven games? We know that whoever the hell the eighth seed is going to be, you ain't lasting too long against OKC. We just get that pipe dream out your thoughts. Just get rid of it. It ain't going to happen. So we got to pay attention to that. I'm not that enamored with the Lakers in Houston, simply because of the injuries. If it were not for the injuries, I would be picking the Lakers to beat the Houston Rockets. But because LeBron James won't have Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves available to him, I don't know whether it's a game, two games, four games, or whatever. Because you don't have it, I'm not excited because I don't see any way they can beat the Houston Rockets. I don't see how that can happen. I'm really at a loss. I don't see how that can happen. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. But what all of this has me thinking about is how exciting the play-in is. See, because I remember when the play-in tournament was first introduced, LeBron James and others decried it, vilified it, dismissed it, act like it was doesn't mean anything. It's not playoffs. I mean, damn, 82 games, it should be the top 8 teams. Well, this play-in tournament that gives the ninth and the 10th seed an additional bite at the apple to possibly make the playoffs, I think has made it very, very interesting. Playoffs have officially arrived. Even though they're supposed to begin Saturday, as far as I'm concerned, they began last night because of the quality of the games we witnessed. That's what we got to pay attention to. And it's especially important when you see somebody like this kid Alvarado that just got traded to the Knicks from New Orleans, you know, being on Carmelo Anthony's, you know, podcast, talking about how 30, 40% of the players probably don't give a damn. Yeah, we've noticed. We've noticed, Alvarado, we've noticed. And so when you look at it and we are living in the age of age management, load management and tanking, and you see those kind of subjects propping up, it's good to be reminded about how much these dudes care and how much it matters. This time of year is what we've been waiting for. All the lamenting that we have done, all the complaining that we have done, the disgust that has raked all over our face because of what we've seen during the regular season with some of this NBA talent. To see last night, first night of the play-in, made it all worth it. Because those brothers, all of those brothers out there wanted it. Miami wasn't trying to go home. Charlotte wasn't trying to go home. Portland wasn't trying to go home. Phoenix wasn't trying to go home. That's all we asked for, ladies and gentlemen. That's all we asked for. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. That's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Got a lot of stuff coming your way. Got some NBA stuff to talk about. Got some baseball. The Mets have lost 7 straight. I got a touch on that for a second. Mike Trout hit another home run last night. Got a touch on that for a second. Of course, WrestleMania is this week as well. Got to talk about that. Got The Miz coming on himself. So looking forward to talking to him about that. NFL action being talked about. Mel Kiper Jr.'s mock draft is out. This cat Styles from Ohio State. People talk about Cowboys moving up from the 12th to the 6th spot to get him, how much of a stud he is or whatever. And I believe him. Please don't get me wrong. But I do find myself asking, well, if you know him definitively to be that kind of stud, why is he going to last till the 6th spot? If he's going to be that dude, if he's a generational kind of talent, right, on that level, running a 4.46 and 40, all I'm saying is, why is he going to fall at 6th? Ty Simpson is another subject to address, too. It's a lot to get into, so don't go away. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM. Back with your calls and more in a minute.